perception of the fever, bringing death to the receiver. There's no effort in believing that the method feeds the fever. See the leader, diseases are invented in the lab. One believes it on reading recent mentions of the jab, centered in a grand scab of corruption and lies, and taking views of doom from news rumors to the public eye. But now the floor has risen on the cause of autism. Doctors show research and scores of flaws with them. It's mercury and vaccine. Often there's more given, peace ignored and forbidden, because profit is war driven. A score billion on vaccines alone, and the government don't care. They're always taxing the clones, and the CDC is right behind this rolling cart. Part involved from the start in this evolving art. A big pharma, big deception, Obama, big karma. Enter White's Roach Bayer and Baxter Healthcare. All assorted history with stacks of health scares. You got HIV and bird flu mixed up in the shops. I've been connecting the dots between the money that swaps. Conspiracy? Yeah, I sense a couple of plots.
If you never want to get the swine flu, don't go get the swine flu vaccine.
There is one little word that could save your health. Just say no. Say no to the vaccine. And if the doctor says he'll make him take it himself, just say no. Say no to the vaccine. There is one little word that could save your health. Just say no. Say no to the vaccine. And if Obama says he'll make him take it himself, just say no.
I don't need your prescription, I ain't got no affliction. Corporate pharmaceutical dealing with politicians. Put them on prescription, that should be our own decision. Whether we will spend it on vaccines or health and education. Soon they enlist the general populace. They adding to the list pharmaceutical benefits. Yo, Alexa Finland, Glasgow Smith Klein. Often much in fine, scaling to your disease. Mac, our cough and metal swine. Your population linked with holding vaccines. Rather let a product lapse and save some human beings. Now death is the kind of giving. And so they want to hear us when we're running on the machine. Yeah. And not the flu here, that ain't our biggest threat. What about an aging population with no safety net? So we continue to believe everything we read. They just ain't no case in their new speed.
Weapons of trial and error. We're smiling in terror at the doctor and nurse. Take a hold of yourself and control of your health and say no.
No, why don't you go first?
One little word that can save your health. Just say no. Say no to the vaccine.
If the doctor says he'll make him take it himself.
Say no, no. Say no to the vaccine. There's one little word that can save your health. Just say no. Say no to the vaccine.
And if Obama says he'll make him take it himself. Just say no.
Say no to the vaccine.
Don't get any injection. You never know what's in them. They're all poison.
The needle on the record.
And there's no record that they ever prevent anything.
Yeah, all right, welcome to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, and it is time for What's Ailing America with Dr. Rebecca Carley. Take it away, Rebecca.
Welcome to What's Ailing America. On the show, you will learn how to recognize the patterns used by the psychopaths that are controlling our world, who have created the living hell we find ourselves in here on planet Earth, where doctors create disease and destroy life and administer biological weapons, nicknamed vaccines, which are corrupting our very genetic structures, where everything is the opposite of where it what it should be. And the song that opens my show is by NZ Trillion, Say No to the Vaccine. I strongly suggest that you access that on YouTube and share that with everyone you know. It's an excellent song and pretty much tells it like it is. I also suggest that you check out my websites, reversingvaccineinduced, I-N-D-U-C-E-D, diseases.com. On that site, you can access the services tab and learn how I do consults to teach people how to reverse all their diseases with natural therapies. Because, of course, there are natural solutions for everything. And the medical profession that I proudly joined back in the early 80s, but then shortly realized thereafter was actually creating diseases and killing people, is hiding the natural solutions from you. Of course, now with Obamacare, you're going to be forced to get insurance if you're stupid enough to go along with it. If I was you, I would pay any extortion, fee, tax, whatever they call it, because you will be forced to get vaccines and mammograms, which cause breast cancer, et cetera, to keep your insurance. So say no if you want to live. My other website is drcarley, C-A-R-L-E-Y.com. You can check that out. I have to redo that site. It's got a lot of important information on it, though. At the top of the site, you will learn the actual legal definition of weapons of mass destruction. And when you read it, you will say to yourself, sounds like they're talking about vaccines. Because, of course, we have to realize that everything that's happening is being done intentionally. And we have to face reality, realize who is behind all of this, and then stand up and do something. Because compromise with evil is impossible. You can call into the show in the second hour if you have any comments or questions. The number is 310-421-4053. That's 310-421-4053. I do not address any comments or questions from the chat room. So you'll have to call in and actually speak on the air if you have anything to say. Archives of my shows for the past few years on various networks can be found at thelightofdayradioshow.com. That's thelightofdayradioshow.com. Click on Dr. Carly Archives. You can also sign up for the free weekly newsletter I contribute to at the bottom of the link section at reversingvaccineinduceddiseases.com. And prior newsletters are also posted on the Dr. Carly Archives section of the lightofdayradioshow.com. You click on the little daily news icon to get to the newsletters. And my board op has already told me that people are asking questions about colloidal silver, which I covered last week on the show. My newsletter from this week was on the disinfo about colloidal silver. So I strongly suggest that you go to the lightofdayradioshow.com, click on that daily news icon. You can access my newsletter from last week telling you about disinfo about colloidal silver. Because colloidal silver, in my opinion, is the best way that you can protect yourself from the viruses that are being created in the biowarfare labs by the mad scientists, that are being coughed and sneezed on you by the vaccinees, etc. Colloidal silver does not take care of viruses that have been injected into you. Homeopathy is the only way to deal with that that I know of. But certainly taking silver every day, as I do and as all my pets do, is an excellent way to protect yourself no matter what any disinformers tell you. And I give books that you can read and things of that nature. This is very much well documented. Please support the Revolution Radio Network at freedomslips.com if you appreciate the shows that are broadcast here. And please mention what your favorite shows are, because there is no time that it's been more important to get the truth out to the people, and who knows how much longer it will last. We have to continue to do the best we can until these psychos take down the internet or whatever they have in mind. My guest today is J.B. Campbell, the individual who started the militia movement. I'm not going to go through a long bio for him. You can access his bio on J.B. Campbell, extremismonline.com. He's written two excellent recent articles that I strongly suggest that you access. One from September 1st is entitled Heroic Measures, and this talks about how the Hungarians have thrown the Jews out of their country, something that we should be doing. And, of course, Cyprus has done this as well. And his latest newsletter, which he just published, is entitled Unconditional Surrender, and that's from today. Yom Kippur. Isn't it funny that we would be doing a show today, JB? Yom Kippur, the day that these Jews take their Kol Nidre oath not to honor any oaths that they've taken. That's kind of ironic. So welcome to the show, JB. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you, Dr. Carly. Good to be here.
Okay, so I don't even know where to start. There's so much information we've been sharing. Two quick things I just want to mention, because after I had found out that the traitors in the District of Criminals had passed H.R. 4133, the United States-Israel Enhanced Security Cooperation Act of 2012, where they basically agreed to protect Israel no matter what it does. Now we find out that, in fact, there's also a law that actually goes after people for asking a question if a product was made in Israel. And, in fact, if the person asked the question that the product was made in Israel does not report the asker, then they actually are liable. This one company that you had sent me this article about was fined $6,000 for not reporting the person that asked the question if a product was made in Israel, which is really pretty amazing when you think about it. And, of course, we also have, and you had sent me this article, H.R. 3355 in the 103rd Congress, the death penalty including a death penalty for obstructing Jews, who, as we know, as per the last sentence in the 10th Protocol of Zion, actually state their true intentions. This is what's happening, so it can't be a fraud. It is indispensable to trouble in all countries the people's relations with their governments so as to utterly exhaust humanity by dissension, hatred, starvation, torture, by the inoculation of diseases, etc. By want, so that the goy see no other option but, you know, refuge and our money and all else. So how obvious can it be, JB, that our country is controlled by these bloodline psychopaths? When you think about the fact that to even ask a question about a product coming from Israel, now since they are the major people behind the depopulation agenda, and let anyone that knows or owns a SodaStream product, you know, those little things you can buy, and they're global now, where you can make your own soda. You know, they give you the thing to put the bubbles, but they also give you all the syrups to make whatever soda or whatever that you want. That company is in Israel. And I found out about that from a magazine that I get called Israel Today, which I monitor to see what the Christians who have become Zionists are up to. And so when I found out that that product was made in Israel, I quickly threw mine in the garbage because, of course, one would have to wonder, with all of the terrorism they're committing, how easy would it be to put some poison in that soda syrup and kill off lots of people? But anyways, I just wanted to mention those things so people would be aware of how bad it's getting. So take it away. Your last two articles were outstanding. As I said, I encourage everybody to go to jbcampbellextremismonline.com to read them. And my answer, What's Ailing America Today, is minimal resistance of Americans to genocide and tyranny. How much are these idiots going to take? I mean, I don't get it.
That's a good question. You'd think they'd be saturated at the saturation point by now, but apparently it hasn't happened yet. There is some fantastic news, you know, as I put in that one column or essay of the last one about Hungary. Of course, to me, this is the issue. This is what the revolution must be about. The government has one legitimate function. The federal government has one legitimate function, that is to supply the country with debt-free currency.
Yeah.
This is a wonderful, wonderful thing, and it is a great thing for government to do. Now, free market guys over Lou Rockwell, they don't like this. They don't like the idea of debt-free currency because they're called the Ludwig von Mises crowd, the Austrian economists. Even Ron Paul is an Austrian economist. And these guys are dead against debt-free currency. You got to wonder why, you know. This guy Tom Woods, he and I used to get into it quite heavily. He says, "Well, you free currency people, you think we're all Rothschild shills." Well, I said, "Of course you are a Rothschild shill. You believe in debt-based currency." Well, we believe in gold. Well, who owns the gold? You know, where do you get the gold? Where you want a gold-backed currency? That's what Ron Paul is always talking about. He wants a gold-backed currency. Well, how do you afford to buy the gold? And where do you get it? The gold's all gone,
right,
as far as I know. I mean, you got to rent it from the Rothschilds. So you're right back in the same trap. But this is what Germany did, and I've got an essay, you know, on the lead page of my website called "Behind the Holocaust," and I finally figured out what is behind the Holocaust. And what Germany did in 1933, Hitler, he kind of looked to, of all people, Abraham Lincoln, who, you know, to finance his genocidal campaign against Southern Americans, he went to the banks and asked for loans, war loans, military loans. The banker said, "Sure." And they said they offered him as much money as he wanted at about 34% interest. Even Lincoln said, "Well, can't afford that. I got to think of something else." So he came up with the United States notes, and they were debt-free currency. They called them greenbacks because the back of them, like our money today, was in green ink first time. And they were recognized, they were accepted, and they were very successful, even for a negative purpose, you know, war. But they survived even after the war, and they were retired pretty soon afterwards, but they were accepted as long as they were in circulation. And of course the bankers, I think, killed Lincoln because of the issuance of the United States note in I think 1862, as an object lesson. You know, don't ever do this again, because they issue privately owned debt-based currency, which today called the Federal Reserve note, and they make their fortunes on this terrible practice, which I think is very difficult to explain to people, because a guy who's not aware just looks at you and thinks, I know he's thinking, this can't be true. Why would the government let a private corporation issue currency at interest and also lend this fake currency or credit to the government? And it makes no sense. But that's the system. That's what we're under. And that is what has destroyed America, and it has destroyed the world. So Germany, by 1933, you know, when Hitler came to power, he came to power over a bankrupted, starving country, which had no credit, no trade. It was 50% unemployment, and he didn't really know what to do, but he looked to Lincoln's thing, and, well, if he did it, why can't we do it? And he first issued scrip in like about five major industries. It was this parallel form of currency. Are you still there?
Yeah.
Okay. It was a parallel form of currency, and it was so successful that he soon said, well, let's just issue state currency, the Reichsmark, this way. And it was a miracle. I think I just learned yesterday, I think my wife just told me, that Hitler was actually nominated for the Nobel Prize in 1939 because of the runaway success, the tremendous, relatively instant prosperity created in Germany, going from starvation and 50% unemployment within 18 or 24 months to full employment. And workers buying homes for the first time, buying cars, taking paid cruises. So it was a miracle. And I think that's the reason that the Jews waged war, total war, annihilation war on Germany. As another object lesson, don't ever think about doing this. Okay, well, today, somebody's doing it. Guess who? The Hungarians. The Hungarians distinguished themselves back in October 1956 because our President Eisenhower, who had reportedly one framed photograph on his desk in the Oval Office of Joseph Stalin. Eisenhower had served Stalin very well as commander of the Allied forces in Europe. And by his orders to allow the Red Army to take Berlin and Prague and other major cities and countries, instead of allowing, you know, Patton to go through from the west, he allowed the Russians, the Soviets, to come in from the east and impose communism on countries that had never been communist. So he also carried out a gruesome program called Operation Keelhaul, which were rounded up by American and British soldiers, approximately 5 to 6 million Russians and Ukrainians and other East Europeans who had escaped the Soviet Union during the war and thought they were safe. And some of them had actually joined up with the Germans to fight communism because it was so dreadful. So Eisenhower arranged for all of these people to be rounded up and put in boxcars and sent back to Stalin, where they were either executed in Hungary when they got off the train or put into the Gulag Archipelago, as described by Solzhenitsyn, and worked to death within a few months. It was a really, really dreadful thing that Eisenhower did. So there's also the starvation of the a million German POWs directly after the war, about a million of them. And then we find out that he starved to death approximately somewhere between 9 and 13 million Germans from 1945 to 1948. Okay, so fast forward to October 56. Eisenhower is now president. The Hungarians are making noises that they'd like to get rid of the Soviet occupation troops in Budapest and in Hungary. So Eisenhower said, okay, well, you show that, if you show me that you can get them out of the city, I'll give you support. Wow. Hell of a deal. So the Hungarian freedom fighters said, okay, fine. We'll start with these rotten Jews, these terrorists in charge of secret police and the Communist Party, imposed on us by Stalin and then by Khrushchev. And so in October 56, they stormed the buildings housing the terror organizations, the secret police, and the party. They dragged out hundreds of Jews from these buildings and hanged them and shot them. And then they attacked the Soviet armored division in Budapest with gasoline bombs and small arms. And, you know, when tankers get out of their tanks once in a while, they kill them. And so finally Khrushchev ordered a pullback. Okay, he said, I guess the Americans are going to do this thing, you know. So he ordered his tanks out of Budapest. Okay, so the freedom fighters said, right on. Next step, Eisenhower is going to send us military aid, like anti-tank weapons and whatever we need just to remain, to become independent. Okay, they waited for a week. After the first week, one C-47 airplane landed at the Budapest airport. Oh, boy, this is the beginning of the great thing, they said. They got on board the plane, opened the plane, got in. What was in there? Powdered milk. That was it. That was the entire amount of military aid that Eisenhower sent to the freedom fighters. So Khrushchev wrote in his memoirs, well, he said, I waited for 2 weeks thinking that, you know, the Americans were going to come through for them. They didn't. So I sent the tanks back in, and, you know, they killed everybody. They killed all the freedom fighters, ones that didn't escape. So that's America. That's how America operates and has always operated and is operating today in Syria. Same thing. But today the good news is the Hungarians have emulated the Germans of 1933. They have, starting about 2 years ago, they started issuing debt-free currency. The government has done the heroic thing. Talk about heroic measures. In the face of Rothschild cartel and the IMF, they have issued debt-free currency. They have paid off their fake 2.2 billion euro debt to the IMF. They are now debt-free, and they are becoming very prosperous. And they were Hungary was a basket case under the debt-based currency and the IMF loans. Today, prosperity is happening. So we can do it. You know, we can do it. If Hungarians can do it, by God, America can do it. Anybody can do it.
And we have no other option, because as we see, it's getting worse every day. As you reported in your last newsletter, there was a secret meeting in D.C. I'm trying to find it now. I think in last month, you know, they're getting ready for martial law, and you had some validation of this, which was amazing, that a doctor who had a trucker as a client, if you could tell the people about what you learned from this doctor. About signs being in this load that the trucker was hauling.
Yeah, well, I'm not able to verify this. Now, I believe it, but I've been tracing it for the past 2 days now, backtracking the report. And this morning I talked to the guy who reported it to the doctor, and he said it came from a DOT man in Arizona. Well, I can't find this guy. So I can't actually verify about the signs in the truck. Supposedly coming, they were made in Mexico and were being taken back east. But the signs allegedly said martial law area. You know. Okay, so I can't verify this yet. I'm still working on this, and I will get to the bottom of one way or the other.
But we know this is where they're going. And as I had written to you, I've noticed in my local grocery store for some time now that the shelves are becoming more and more bare. So what I realized from that is that, you know, apparently, you know, they're getting ready for something. If martial law is declared and people can't even get food, then, you know, neighbors will be killing each other over a can of beans. And that's going to make it easier for the powers that be because, you know, now the word's getting out, thanks to John Whitehead in his excellent book, A Country of Wolves, that, you know, there were 80,000 SWAT team invasions of homes just last year. And I had sent you a link to an article that was just published that in Pine Bluff, Arkansas, a SWAT team killed a 107-year-old man, you know, called to his house because he didn't want to leave his house. Yeah. And so they killed him. This is what's going on. So these stories are getting out there, so it's much easier for them to get people in a starvation mode. You know, think back to that last sentence in the 10th Protocol of Zion, to get people to the point where they'll kill each other over food. And it's coming. You know it's coming. We can feel that it's coming. And unfortunately, there are so many people that have sold out to these psychopaths that they will enforce this. And, you know, that's why it's so important for us to rise up and say we're not going to do this. We're not going to take this anymore before that happens.
Yeah, I did read that about the old-timer that was murdered by the cops. They're doing this so often now. As you know, I'm always on about Brandon Robb. and his dreadful experience. But now there's another fellow recently down in Arizona, in Humboldt, Arizona, a guy named Blaine Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a very serious young man. He's a firefighter, you know, wild firefighter. So obviously quite courageous. But he, again, got on Facebook and speculated on Facebook about the nature of the growing American police state and commented that he thought we actually are in a police state. Well, as confirmation of that, he got a call from the local police department within 24 hours asking him to come down to the police department and be interviewed by the FBI. I said, what for? Well, what you put on Facebook. So he did. He went down, and the FBI grilled him for 45 minutes. Apparently, you know, didn't detect any similarity between him and me, and let him go. They said, it's a good thing that you came down here and talked with us, because the next step would have been for us to kick in your door.
Wow.
Now, the Blaine Cooper said that when he got there, the FBI had all of his Facebook correspondence, not only his, but his wife's and his parents and her parents. Everything they put on Facebook, they had hard copies of, a huge file, he said, a huge file. I mean, this is really astonishing to me. And it must be cause for people who know my material, you know, heard me before or read my stuff. Well, why doesn't this happen to you? I mean, how come these guys who, you know, the relatively innocuous things they put online on Facebook, how come they get busted? Nothing happens to you. Well, I mean, we can go into that because I got a theory on that. I got several theories, but I think it's important why nothing has happened to me. And now there's one possibility that the FBI wants some radical revolutionary such as myself spouting off and saying outrageous things, which I do. I mean, we're in an outrageous situation, so you got to speak the unspeakable. You know, it's too late for politeness and good taste.
Well, I just have to say, what you say is not outrageous. As I say, how much are people going to take to genocide and tyranny being conducted? And as you said, Mr. Cooper proved about the police state when they came and got him. And it's amazing to me that anybody's on Facebook. Obviously, it's totally monitored. I suggest everybody stop using Facebook. That's insane to begin with. But go ahead and give your theories as to why you haven't been going through the same thing, although you have had drone attacks at your home and other things, so obviously they know where you are.
Oh, yeah. I mean, my wife has suffered, you know, terribly from that drone attack, and our neighbors were firebombed by, it turned out, the FBI a couple months ago, which I've written about. But, you know, it's possible that they want some barometer, some gauge of the real resistance to what they're doing. That's possible. Another possibility is, though, that they don't want to get hurt. Now, you know, their way is to kill, intimidate, whatever, torture.
Yeah.
But, and they want to kill us, but they don't want to fight us. They don't want to take the chance of getting hurt. The FBI
right.
are the biggest bunch of cowards on the face of this earth.
Exactly.
And if there's a chance of getting hurt, like at Waco, then they can't do that. And not only because of they're afraid of that, but because that would be very bad politically to show that there is a resistance movement. I think they're trying to play that down. You know, everybody gets attacked. Brother Nathaniel gets attacked. He tells me, you get attacked. You're harassed. Anybody, I think, most normal people are subject to attack. But my name never gets mentioned by the Jews or by the Feds. I mean, we can draw conclusions. Nobody says the stuff I say, but I never get criticized or held up as a monster or whatever. And I'm sure, I mean, I know it's outrageous to the government, the things I'm saying and writing. It's extremely outrageous to the Jews. They're probably beside themselves with rage, but they won't say a thing. It's a, you know, there are questions about that. Why is that?
Well, and let me also say that there's many people that are allegedly anti-vaccine out there, but they don't talk about vaccines as bioweapons, as I do, because mm-hmm. that's what they are. So I am never mentioned either in any of the books written by Paul Offit and the other genocidal pro-vaccine people. So basically, it's if you tell the total truth, they have to kind of ignore you because they're afraid that they would mention you and then somebody's going to check out your information. Because your information is self-evident. As I say on the show all the time, you're already dead. I don't care if you're doing nothing on Facebook. They're killing you with chemtrails, fluoride, pesticides, vaccines, everything. They're killing you already. So why don't you grow a backbone and stand up and say you're not going to take it anymore? I mean, this is what blows my mind is that people think, you know, they can be ostriches and stick their head in the sand and believe that they'll be left alone. They're not being left alone. And as I reported on the show before, in January of next year, under Obamacare, the SWAT teams are going to include CPS agents who are going to be stealing children for every excuse you can imagine, whether if they're not vaccinated or if they have been vaccinated and they're brain damaged. They're going to take your children for any reason. So the scenario is escalating, and doing nothing is obviously not working.
No, it's not working, and it's time to do something. So
how can you be a human being and see what's going on? I mean, this whole Syria charade, that's going on. Obviously, you know, they're going after the Muslims because Muslims don't do usury, so they have to take out the leaders of all these Muslim countries so they can bring in the Jews and their IMF and make them into a debtor nation as well. Financial control is step one. But when I started hearing about this idea of sending missiles to Syria, to punish Assad, who obviously is not the one that used the chemical weapons. It's self-evident that the CIA and the Mossad are behind this. So you're going to send missiles to protect the people? How do missiles protect people? These people are insane.
Yeah, and those Tomahawk cruise missiles, they used to cost $1 million each. Now it's $1.5 million each. And they're talking about hundreds or maybe 1,000 of these Tomahawks. That's the plan. That's Kerry's tiny response that he wants to give to Assad.
Right.
Boy, what a screw-up that guy is. He made this flip remark or answer to a question in London the other day. They said, well, is there any way that war could be avoided? He said, sure. Assad can turn over his chemical weapons within 1 week. But of course, he'll never do that. Well, Assad said, yeah, hell yeah, that's fine. As long as, you know, give them to Russia. Russia gives me another means to protect myself from Israel and from America. And it's working. I mean, let us pray that there is no what I call Plan A, which is the Jewish total war. And it's not just against Syria and Iran. The real plan, as I see it, is the Zbigniew Brzezinski plan, for world war against Russia and perhaps China, but especially Russia. Brzezinski, you know, was Jimmy Carter's national security advisor, the founder of the Trilateral Commission, and the man who dreamed up Al-Qaeda in 1979. Al-Qaeda was invented by Zbigniew Brzezinski.
Right.
And created by the CIA.
Exactly.
Al-Qaeda means the base, B-A-S-E, the base. You know, and I took a course in Arabic a long time ago. I have an Arabic dictionary. Al-Qaeda, the base. Okay, what does that mean, the base? And I thought, well, that must be some deep thing like the fundamental base of Islam. Or no. It means the computerized database of the CIA of its Mujahideen fighters. It's their database of the guys that they supplied in Afghanistan. Now, what that was Zbigniew Brzezinski created these mercenaries from all countries to go into Afghanistan and fight and raise hell and make the Soviets, in those days they were the Soviets, not the Russians, the Soviets, angry and suck them into Afghanistan in some huge fight, war, which they did. The Soviets fell for it. It was a trap laid by Brzezinski with Al-Qaeda as his bait. And so the Soviets poured the troops in there to protect their puppet in Kabul. And then the CIA started turning up the heat and providing more and more and more weapons to the Mujahideen, which were Al-Qaeda. And Osama bin Laden was the paymaster for the CIA. They funneled the money through him. He put some of his own money into it, too. And he was a CIA guy.
Exactly.
So it when the CIA finally supplied Stinger surface-to-air missiles, shoulder-fired surface-to-air missiles, those Hind-D helicopters were easy meat for these Stinger missiles. And they were dropping out of the sky like flies. And that ended the war, and it destroyed the Soviet Union, just as Brzezinski intended. It was what he calls the grand chess game or something. That's, you know, like one of his book titles. So today, Obama is really the protege of Zbigniew Brzezinski. He's the guy in charge of Obama, it appears, overall. And Brzezinski wants world war. He's totally insane. As James Bond said in Goldfinger, he's quite mad, you know. And that's the truth about Brzezinski. He is totally insane, and he wants a world war against Russia. He's Polish. He's got this thing about Russia. And so that's the grand maneuver, it appears. And Russia's doing the honorable thing. They're backing up Syria. They're saying, no, you're not going to wipe out Syria. We're going to give them everything they need. But it may be playing into Brzezinski's hands. So we must be very aware of what's going on here.
Well, not only that, but Putin has apparently put out some information about 9/11 being an inside job. So he's trying to tell people what's going on. And, of course, you mentioned Osama bin Laden. He died... What it was a 2001, I think, of renal failure, and then we had this whole hoax developed where the Navy SEALs went in and allegedly killed a man that's been dead for years. And of course, isn't it amazing how most of those Navy SEAL guys are now dead, because we don't want them coming out and actually telling that was a total hoax. So this is how it works, and that's why I wish the military would wake up and realize that they're being used, and once they know too much, they're going to be taken out as well. So why don't you go after the actual terrorists who are in the district of criminals, who are colluding with Israel to do all of these things? It's just mind-boggling to me that they don't get it.
Well, they might be starting, you know. Apparently, the sentiment in the military is no war against Syria. And that's a good start. I don't think that's happened before that I'm aware of. Maybe at the height of the Vietnam War, it was getting like that. But after what happened to these guys in Iraq and Afghanistan, I mean, I'm pretty sure that there's not many soldiers and Marines who are fit for combat today because of the debacles in Iraq and Afghanistan. They are so messed up physically and mentally, which we can easily see in the suicide statistics. I think something like 23 guys a day are killing themselves,
right,
because of what they did in to the Arab, to the Muslims. Mm-hmm. It was so horrific, and now they're saying, "Oh my God, what did I do? And why did I do that?" And they can't live with themselves. So. But, you know, in my essay, my lead essay on that website, The Military Solution, this is what my idea is, that good guys and gals in the military, especially the junior officers from lieutenant to major, lieutenant, captains, and majors, and the senior non-commissioned officers, the corporals and sergeants, they must take matters into their own hands and honor their oaths to fight all enemies, foreign and domestic, including the ones above them in the military who are taking orders from the Council on Foreign Relations, Brookings Institution, and all the Trilateral Commission-type clones that are pushing world government or the New World Order or Jew World Order, whatever you want to call it.
Right. As a matter of fact, I had sent you an article exposing General Wesley Clark being a Jew, and he's appearing on many of the different, you know, talking head shows, talking about, you know, what should be done in Syria and things of that nature. And funny how, although he was raised a Southern Baptist and later converted to Roman Catholicism, he actually went to some talk where he, you know, revealed the fact that he's from a long line of rabbis. So this is also evidence of how they've infiltrated everything. And, you know, they'll pretend that there's something else in order to give them the ability to not be labeled with that, you know, psychopathic Jewish label. In order to, you know, affect the same propaganda that's being put out in order to accomplish what these people are after. And
he said in a meeting, in a speech, that he was the great grandson, the grandson, and the son of rabbis. His family name is actually Kanne, K-A-N-N-E, not Clark. Clark was just an adopted thing, like so many Jews do.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the interesting thing about Wesley Clark, now, he did reveal something very important. I don't know what compelled him to speak the truth, but he apparently did. He revealed that he'd gone to see Rumsfeld, I think, in the Pentagon, and another brother general officer. And he was the head of NATO, I think, head of Europe, forces in Europe. It was a very important position in the army. But he went to the Pentagon on a visit and was pulled into a guy's office who told him that the plan was not only to go after Afghanistan for 9/11, but Iraq and eventually five other Muslim countries, or seven countries, or it turned out to be eight in the next 5 years. So he did reveal that. But unfortunately for us, this guy is a totally amoral character. He was in charge of, was it Fort Hood, I think, wherever the heavy armor at Waco came from, when Janet Reno and Hillary Clinton ordered the annihilation of the people in the church with military vehicles, those vehicles and the gas, the illegal gas that was used to kill them, was supplied by General Wesley Clark. So he's a, you know, they're all war criminals. Anybody who's dealing death, whether at home or overseas, is a war criminal and is subject to death. I just read today the War Crimes Act of 1996, I think it was. When Clinton was president, the Congress passed the War Crimes Act, and Clinton signed it. It is the law. And the law says that if one person is killed by actions constituting war crime, then everybody involved is subject to the death penalty. And so the whole Bush gang, you know, waged crimes against the peace. They did everything that our Jewish government outlawed at Nuremberg in 1945-46 and hanged people for. They made up laws that weren't laws before the war, or weren't laws until the Nuremberg Tribunal made them up. It's called an ex post facto law, and it's illegal in America. But that's what got 12 German leaders hanged, because America, mainly the Jews in charge of the Nuremberg Tribunal, said, "You broke the law." What law? The law about crimes against the peace, crimes against humanity, waging aggressive war. These are crimes punishable by death. German said, "Since when?" "Since now." "Well, you can't hang us now. You can't make up a law and then hang us." But that's what we did. Anyway, it's the law now, as of 1996, the War Crimes Act. So all these guys, remember when Alberto Gonzalez was Bush's attorney general, he went around to the Republican Party leaders and the Democratic Party leaders and was asking for assurances that the Bush administration would not be prosecuted for war crimes, because they are still subject to being hanged for what they did to Iraq and Afghanistan. And guys like Bill O'Reilly, Sean Hannity, Rush Limbaugh, all these rotten blabbermouths who demanded war. Well, guess what? There was a guy named Julius Streicher in Germany who was hanged because he had a magazine that was critical of the Jews. He was not involved in the German government at all, but because his magazine was so truthful about the Jews, he was hanged at Nuremberg. Well, that's the same thing that could happen to Bill O'Reilly under our War Crimes Act of 1996. Sean Hannity, Rush Limbaugh, they could all be hanged, and they should be hanged, because they got probably 2 million totally innocent people slaughtered, and Iraq coated with depleted uranium dust, which nobody can survive. It's like Fukushima times 20. It's an unbelievable nightmare.
Well, that's so self-evident, what you're saying. I mean, the fact that they're going to go after Syria, they allegedly, whoever, but we can be sure that the chemical weapons were made in the United States, or possibly Israel. As a matter of fact, I wrote a newsletter about this a couple weeks ago. People can check out Project Shad on YouTube. And in that YouTube video, you can hear from veterans who were actually involved in an experiment by the Navy where they released sarin gas, amongst other biological and chemical agents, on Navy ships in an experiment to see if, you know, how fast they would die or whatever the purpose was. And the soldiers were told that if they revealed this, you know, they would be charged with treason for revealing government secrets or whatever. I mean, there is no country on the face of the earth that has done more in terms of chemical and biological weapons than us, except for perhaps Israel, who, as you said, dropped depleted uranium. There are the photographs that I have in a book from Palestine of children being informed, born with deformities you can't even imagine. And yet we have the moral authority to say anything about what these people are going through. It is insane. And like I said before, my main frustration is that most Americans aren't even asking questions. How come Bush and Cheney and all the rest of these traitors were allowed to bring us into fake wars and spend trillions of dollars, and yet they're just living their lives, no problem, no fees that they had to pay for what they've cost the American public, not to mention the death and destruction done by their lies. It's not happening. And apparently Obama has actually, you know, pretty much excluded them from any charges, although there are other countries going after these war criminals. We'll see where that goes. But it's just unbelievable to me, JB, that people don't get it. I know they're fluoridated, aspartame, pesticided, vaccinated, psychiatrically drugged. Their brains are gone. But still, how can they not see what's happening? I just don't get it.
I don't either. I guess it's a combination of public school and sports. You know, sports is a pretty devastating influence on Americans. I've never really seen anything like it. I can see anything to beat it. It's like a new religion, and people just escape from reality into these sporting events and the teams and the statistics, and they know everything about sports. Football, right. Baseball, basketball, whatever. It's just, right. How in the hell can they concentrate on this garbage? I don't know. It's too much. But there is a remnant, you know, that we got a sizable group of, I mean, it's a huge country. You got 313 million people. Okay, a lot of them are consumed with sports and porn and whatever. But there's a whole bunch of us that aren't.
Right.
And that's who, you know, we're concentrating on. There's a bunch of people that really want to know the truth, and they really want some ideas on what to do and how to get out of this mess. So I don't feel bad. I mean, I know that we've got some very tough guys and gals in this country that are ready for action. And that's what I want to help them with.
Exactly. And actually, we only have one break during the show. We'll be going there in about 6 minutes. But I just wanted to mention another article that you had sent me, which is truly amazing, but not, in regards to this ProPublica group. We have so many disinformers going on and false organizations being formed to disinform the people, and then when you actually check it out, they're all Jews. Okay, there's the music. We're going to a break. Let's talk about that after the break so people will know how much they're being disinformed, and of course, lots of them are donating to these organizations. It's beyond belief. Okay, we'll be back after this message. Stay tuned, folks.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
are we supposed to do?
I'm going to fight because I'm used to it. The rest of you are going to have a tougher choice. And look, I don't want to sell it to you. It's too ugly for that. And it's ugly and it's hard. But when you're fighting in your own backyard, you're fighting for your family. It all hurts a little less and it makes a little more sense. But for us, this is our home. Even the tiniest flea can drive a big dog crazy. So the first thing we have to do is learn how to work together. Become a unit. And that's going to take some time. So we're going to have to evolve. Rewire our reflexes. Learn new skills and adapt old ones. So we'll find people we can trust. Friends with their ears to the ground who can help us get the things we need to fight back. Watch what they do. Study their tactics, their machines. The more we know, the easier it will be to hurt them. But we need to be smart, and we need to be patient. Hit them on our terms. When we're good and ready, we inherited our freedom. Now it's up to all of us to fight for it. Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, where the fight begins and information never sleeps.
Enjoy your extra big-ass fries.
You didn't give me no fries. I got an empty box.
Would you like another?
Extra big-ass fries.
I said I didn't get any.
Thank you. Your account has been charged. Your balance is zero. Please
what?
Come back when you can afford to make
a
purchase.
Oh, no, no.
I'm sorry you're
having
trouble.
Come on.
I'm sorry you're
starving. Trouble.
Thank you for tuning in to Revolution Radio. Here at Revolution Radio, we believe in freedom of ideas, freedom of speech, but above all, we believe in freedom of existence through self-reliance. This station is 100% listener supported, and as a fundraising promotion, I have a kick-ass free gift for a $100 donation. 35,000 seeds. 25 years in the freezer. Long-term storable, 54 different varieties. So if the prices go crazy, the shit hits the fan, or if you just want to save tons of money every year by creating your own food like I do, grab our seed pack special. Just look for the banner on the homepage at freedomslips.com. Don't be a statistic. Don't be part of the problem. Be part of the solution. We need, as humans, to start taking care of ourselves and not depending on the megacorps to provide unhealthy, nasty food. Included in this package is also a DVD with 900 survival and off-grid living documents and the offline home canning how to do thing website all on the DVD. So when you're growing all that food, you know how to can it, store it, preserve it, etc. with all these documents. So thank you for tuning in to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I hope that you will pick up this package and start learning to be free. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, where information never sleeps and freedom is one seed that needs to be planted.
What are we doing live?
Who knows what evil lurks in the halls of Washington?
Well, that would be me, Wild Bill Samsel, your host of the Samsel Report. Join me for Wild Bill's Headline Roundup every Saturday night, right here on Revolution Radio.
Welcome to a new experience at Revolution Radio. Fridays, 2 to 4 p.m., Tertiary Vision with Alex and Leia. We'll deeply explore topical issues affecting everyone on the planet. We'll research given narratives and subject matter with a view to crafting such info in a manner that we hope will be digestible and interesting. It's easy to give opinions, but what really lies beneath the surface? What are we really seeing in the world, and what does it mean? So, take this walk with us, Alex and Leia. Tertiary Vision. You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com.
This is Dr. Rebecca Carley reporting from Revolution Radio for my show, What's Ailing America, is on every Saturday at 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B. I will answer the question, What's Ailing America, according to my 16 years of research, as well as why things are as they are. I will arm you with the truth as to why vaccines are actually bioweapons causing all diseases in internal medicine. You will also learn about invaluable solutions available to help you and your loved ones. I love to answer the questions of listeners, and I invite you to join in the discussion with me and my guests.
So we'll see you Saturday at 6 p.m. until 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Studio B, Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps. Thank you for tuning in to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. If you plan to call in and speak with one of our hosts, please turn down your radio and separate yourself from any background noise and wait for the area code to be called on before you speak. And don't forget, Revolution Radio freedomslips.com is listener supported. So stop by the homepage, freedomslips.com, visit the site support area to help support the host you're listening to's airtime. Thank you. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, where the truth never sleeps. Revolution Radio. You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
And we're back with the second hour of What's Ailing America, where our answer today is minimal resistance of Americans to genocide and tyranny. My special guest is J.B. Campbell. You really need to check out his essays at jbcampbellextremismonline.com. jbcampbellextremismonline.com. And it's very interesting that he actually worked as an anti-terrorist many years ago, and you can check out his bio to learn about that. And now he's actually, you know, seeing what's happening in this country and realizing where the worst terrorists are. They're here in the United States. And actually, I want you to talk about this ProPublica fraud. But we were Skyped a question during the break, which I think is a very good question. And if you could please talk about that on the air in regards to the rescue attempt with the big helicopters in 1980. See, one of the things that the military has to realize is that they are basically not only being used as pawns in these fake wars, but that they are going to die at the drop of a hat if the reason for them dying is something that's going to benefit the psychopaths in control. So could you please comment on what we were discussing on Skype during the break?
Yeah. There was a question about what they kind of dismissively called Carter's Desert Classic when he sent the helicopters in to Iran to try to rescue the hostages taken by the militant students and held for 444 days total. It was a total disaster. My former partner, business partner, was an ex-Army helicopter pilot, and he said the word was in his circle that it was deliberate sabotage of the helicopters, which, you know, they failed. There was a huge sandstorm, which they blamed for the engines failing, and every, you know, the whole thing was a fiasco of the First Order. But apparently also the machines were sabotaged by terrible maintenance. They were, the men were given these worn out helicopters, and, you know, sandstorm or not, they should still function. They're designed to be able to function under pretty harsh conditions. The damn things wouldn't start, and they crashed, and everybody was killed, pretty much. So we know what happened after that, because, you know, George Bush was going to be running, was running with Ronald Reagan on the Republican ticket. And Bush, of course, went to Paris to talk with the Iranians, and they were holding the hostages. So he went to, he flew to Paris. He was flown there by Rusbacher. Remember Rusbacher, the pilot and CIA agent, married Ray Ellen Rusbacher, Gunther Rusbacher. Gunther Rusbacher finally admitted that he flew Bush and Rostenkowski and some other people to Paris to meet with the Iranians to persuade them to hold on to the hostages until after the election, because Carter's plan was called the October Surprise. He was going to get the hostages released and thereby help his presidential aspirations, you know, his hopes to be reelected and defeat Ronald Reagan. So George Bush went to Paris to talk to the Iranians and tell them to hold on to the hostages until the election's over. If you do that, we know that you have a lot of American equipment that you inherited from the Shah of Iran when you overthrew him, and you need spare parts. Well, if you hold on to these hostages, we'll get you all the spare parts you need for those F-4 Phantom jets and American tanks and all the other stuff that you need. It'll come through Israel. We'll give it to Israel, and Israel can supply it to you, which Israel did at great profit. And then part of that profit was given to Oliver North and Bill Clinton down in Arkansas for the arms for drugs scandal at MENA, Arkansas. But Rusbacher, he flew about 12 people to Paris in his business jet, and then flew George Bush back to Washington to Andrews Air Force Base in a SR-71 Blackbird. And, you know, that's a supersonic plane with its two-seater. And Rusbacher was in prison when he was telling me all this stuff and supplying me with the proof. The videotape existed that showed Bush in the second seat, because both pilot and co-pilot and a Blackbird are videotaped the whole time. They're being filmed to make sure that they're not blacking out from the extreme conditions. So there was a videotape of George Bush in the Blackbird, and Rusbacher had it. And my God, when I wrote that, all hell broke loose. New York Times, Washington Post, Wall Street Journal, Chicago Tribune, they all wanted this thing. Rusbacher, finally they started saying, oh, Rusbacher's a big liar. But no, I mean, he showed he actually did this. This is the treachery, the level of treachery by the George Bush crowd, the CIA, Skull and Bones, Brotherhood of Death people. They're so degenerate, rotten. They told the Iranians to keep the hostages until the election. Well, they did. They kept them until the actual inauguration. On the day of the inauguration of Reagan and Bush, the hostages were released during the inauguration. That was the deal. That's the kind of people we're up against here. The totally ruthless, amoral, rotten people.
And I just want to underline what you just said, because it's so important for people to realize this. that we are being lied to incessantly, and that the media is involved when this guy, I don't know if he developed a conscience or was pissed off that, you know, they put him away because he knew too much or whatever. But, you know, he had the video, and yet still they're going to bury it so that people don't realize what's going on. And this is the pattern of practice of these psychopaths. This is what they do. One of the corollaries to this that comes to mind for me is Bradley Manning releasing videos of these psychopaths killing civilians on the ground in this fake war in, I don't remember if it was Iraq or Afghanistan, it doesn't matter. But yet he's sentenced to all these years in prison because he's a danger to national security. Well, how does that work? It's in the interest of the national security of the psychopaths to lie to the American people as to what's actually going on. So the psychopaths continue to go free while the ones who reveal what they're doing are imprisoned and charged with treason. You can't make this stuff up.
Yeah, and people wonder why Edward Snowden stays in Russia and doesn't come home to, quote, face the music, unquote. Well, yeah, and to face the music and go to prison and be tortured in it. And, oh, my God, I mean, as you say, you know, the whistleblowers get sent to prison, Bradley Manning, John Kerouac, or Snowden would be killed. He's done so much damage to these rotten liars. Did you see this guy, Keith Alexander, this clown, who's in charge of everything? He's the big brother. He's the head of the NSA. It was reported in Business Weekly or in another establishment organ that this clown brought a Hollywood set designer to NSA headquarters to build his war room as an identical reproduction of the Starship Enterprise interior. Can you believe? I mean, what in the hell is going on? Who let this guy be in charge of every single thing? Now we find out that this clown, sitting in his Captain Kirk chair, whatever it is, or the other guy, has turned over every single bit of raw data, like our telephone calls, our emails, every single thing to Israel. Now, Israel, several years ago, was authorized by the United States government to operate its killer teams, its what they call Kaidans, its death squads, in America, against people it felt jeopardized the state of Israel in any way. So here we've got the NSA giving these killers our most personal information. So they tried to kill me 3 times back in 2003, as you well know. And I'm sure they'll keep trying now. And now that we know the NSA is cooperating completely with these killers, well, hell, you know, this demands revolution. This is why I'm a revolutionary. There's no legal, there's no safe procedural way to deal with this level of treachery. There's no way. It has to be done by force and violence. How did America become a country in the first place? How come it was no longer colonial backwater, became a country because it fought a violent revolution against its own government? And that's what we have to do again. That's our heritage. That's our way. This is the American way. It's always going to be that way.
Well, it's also called self-protection. How much are you going to allow to occur before you stand up against your predators? And yes, I was amazed to see in my local newspaper, they actually reprinted an article from the Tribune Washington Bureau, entitled NSA Shared Raw Data on Americans with Israel. Excuse me? NSA is exchanging our raw data, our emails, our telephone calls with Israel? What's up with that? That is insane. So basically, they're, you know, it's more than a collaboration. They're actually working with these psychopaths to give information to them as to who their enemies are, who are anybody that's awake. And actually, on Free Speech TV, on September 12th, I actually was watching the Tom Hartman show, and he was talking about the fact that Israel is apparently the only country that has not signed onto the chemical weapons ban. So what's up with that? We're going to go after Syria for chemical weapons, but Israel is saying, oh, no, that doesn't apply to us. You can't make this stuff up. It's just so bizarre. But people have to realize who the puppet masters are. They are the ones that are actually apparently not human, because in that last sentence from the 10th protocol, they talk about utterly exhausting humanity. So obviously they must not be humans, because they're separating the humans from them. But, yes, this is so serious, and I'm very disturbed that more is not being exposed. But, of course, we know the penalty for talking about the Israeli psychopaths. I mentioned them at the beginning of the show. They're actually on the books because our Congress has committed treason and actually passed laws that make it a crime to even ask if a product is made in Israel. People, you need to really check these things out for yourself. We have a question regarding Snowden. Go ahead, Skyper.
This is Jer asking. Hold on, caller. I'll get right to you. This is Jer. JB, I've come to realize that we hear all this about Mr. Snowden, the whistleblower. Then they throw Annex at us, and with all the staging, I saw his father, Snowden's father, on the Today Show with those guys on NBC in the morning, and he did look very dramatic. He looked very real. And then they throw the dice at us at the angle of saying, oh, this is a psyops. It was set up to detract us from something else. We all have to look at the truth in our own diligence. And sometimes I have problems trying to stay in reality to that fact. Do you have any kind of answers with Snowden? Because I have to believe that he was a whistleblower and Putin is protecting him. But could you please digress?
Well, I agree with you. I think he's utterly believable. I think that he is a real freedom fighter. He deliberately joined Booz Allen to reveal more secrets. He knew what the danger he was going to be in, and his life would be destroyed. There are going to be CIA hitmen over there and Russian spies for the CIA that are looking for him to kill him, because this is the most dangerous thing you can do, is tell the truth. And I believe him completely. I don't have any doubts about his sincerity or his genuineness.
Thank you. Caller, can you tell us where you're from and give us your name, please, for JB or Dr. Carley?
Are you speaking with me?
Yes. Go ahead.
Hello? Yeah. Hi. Well, one thing I want to tell you is don't turn your television on. But this is BJ from Arizona, and it's for both Dr. Carley and JB.
Go ahead.
Okay. Hi, Dr. Carley. Anymore when we say America, this or that, I feel like we just need to replace that word with Israel. because they've just controlled so much of this country. It's like Israel's only helping Israel out by giving our info. But the real reason I called was about SEAL Team 6. And everybody keeps talking about Benghazi. I watched a three-hour video of a press conference of the families of those boys, 22 SEAL Team members, on the same Vietnam-era helicopter dropped into a battle zone. They were set up. And the families have taken 2 years. They're getting the Pat Tillman family treatment, lie right. after lie after lie. And it's really a bad thing. People need to look at this more. I mean, the father of one of them is from Philadelphia, and he's been on quite a few shows talking. And the cover-up, I mean, let alone what they did to them, but the cover-up afterwards is just so obvious and in your face, and hardly anybody's talking about this. I think it's Benghazi times a thousand what they did to these kids. And they knew 2 months before they went, they were at home, and then they went back. They were telling their families, you know, I need to do a will and take everything down off Facebook. You know, the parents and everything, get your stuff off Facebook. They knew something was coming down on them. But to put 22 of them in a helicopter together on a go into a battle zone, and, yeah, it was so set up. So it's really heartbreaking what these families have been through and what they have found out. So I'll just leave it at that, and you can look that up online if you want to delve into that subject at all. But it's horrible.
Well, we are the evil empire, and that's what people have to realize. Anybody that's going to sign up to be in the military, it's all a fraud. You're not protecting America. You're working for Israel. But please do give your comments, JB.
Well, yeah, I'm sure those guys were murdered deliberately, probably because of the fake attack on
right.
in Pakistan on the so-called Osama bin Laden, who was been dead for 10 years at that point. And the neighbors around Abbottabad all said, well, that was the landlord. That was the guy that owned that building. I mean, that wasn't Osama bin Laden. He was never here. So I'm sure that the SEALs finally twigged about how they'd been used and lionized for a lie. And the best thing to do would be to kill them. It's like Pat Tillman. I mean, as
you another said. puzzling thing was during these interviews, they had quite a few retired generals and retired SEAL team people get up and speak at this press conference. And they all kept referring to, like, the Muslims as the enemy. And I guess when you invade their countries, yes, they become our enemy. Nobody's talking about Israel. But, you know, they hate Obama. It was so evident. Oh, my God. So here they are, you know, really realizing that Obama's horrible as their commander-in-chief. At the same time, they're calling the Muslims their enemy. And I'm thinking, people, don't you see what the big picture is? So that was it.
Now I take a little different stance on the Libyan, the Benghazi operation. I think that those guys all deserve to get killed because they invaded Libya. They any invader deserves to be killed. This is just human nature.
And they were sending more weapons over to Syria, so yeah, you're probably
Chris Stevens wasn't an ambassador as much as he was a CIA gunrunner, and his job was to supply weapons to these Syrian monsters, the so-called Free Syrian Army or whatever the hell they label themselves.
Right.
So he was a war criminal himself, and he got exactly what he deserved, and so did his cohorts. I'm not going to cry any crocodile tears about these bastards. This is the whole American empire in a nutshell.
JB, excuse me, wasn't that set up to have the trade-off with they wanted that prisoner back, or they were going to turn that one guy up, the sheik or somebody, but they were just going to give him the guns, and they were going to act like they were going to give the guy back, but they were going to keep him on the end, and that's where it went bad. I can't remember the prisoner they wanted to release back to that group that they were dealing with the guns and stuff. But anyway, you follow me, I believe.
Yeah, well, I mean, the report is that Obama wanted Stevens to be kidnapped, quote unquote, and then he would rescue him, make him look like a macho man instead of the homosexual crackhead that he actually is. And it went bad. These guys that were actually that CIA safe house, it wasn't a consulate, it wasn't anything to do with the State Department. It was right. A CIA safe house that was being used to torture people, as you know, the reports I get. So everybody got killed, should have gotten killed. They shouldn't have been there invading somebody else's country. It's a war crime. Everything about this thing is a war crime. And all war criminals must be killed. That's just the way it is.
Well, do you believe that those generals that were trying to protect them and were told to stand back, and then they all of a sudden they're off? They've been like thrown to the curb. I didn't understand that. And it all happened right around Christmas when that famous General Schwarzkopf died. He did not get a very good send-off in his... It was very quiet, his death and his funeral, etc. And that other... That general that was in the Middle East at that time was going to go up there to... was told to stand back, and then all of a sudden he goes to Washington and they get rid of him. So Obama has his men out there that gets rid of these people that are acting as loyal Americans for their brothers under that.
That's on.
Yeah, and Obama's got his henchmen that and his callers that pick this this information up and destroys them and gets them out of the limelight quickly. Is what I feel, JB.
It is hopeful because of what's happening now, the world turning against us. I mean, this is horrible to say. I'm such a patriot. I can't believe these words come out of my mouth. But a lot of people have said, you know, we need to be slammed down. And they've been slammed down now. And they're trying to, you know, go ahead in there. And all these countries at the G20 say, nope, we're not in it.
Go ahead, JB.
I'm sorry, I guess we got cut off there. Yeah, I mean, we've got to, you know, this war business is so terrible and so destructive and so distracting. We've got to concentrate on what's going on at home. We've got to overthrow this rotten government. And we're going to have some military help, you know. I don't see any way around that, so I'm trying to approach, as I say, the junior officers and the senior non-coms who have been so utterly betrayed by their superior officers and by the administration, both Republican and Democrat. Doesn't matter. So
maybe contact a couple of those generals that were in that press conference, because they still talk to people, but they know what's happening here, and we need them. I wonder what would happen if our military just said, we're not fighting any more wars for Israel. We're done. What would they do?
It might be happening. It might actually be happening. So let's keep a good thought on that.
Well, thank you, guys. I'll hang up and listen now.
And I want to thank BJ. She sends me a lot of important information. I'm very grateful for that. But, yes, in fact, once the military gets pissed off, once they realize that they're being killed for nothing, that it's an utter betrayal of their own country, that's when I think things are going to really turn to a positive direction. Because, of course, how can the rest of the world not hate us? They know what we're doing. And I have clients all over the world, and they ask me, why aren't Americans standing up for the fact that they're being betrayed and being used and paying for these crimes against humanity? That's what the rest of the world wants to know. How can these other countries that were being, that were bombing and using all kinds of other tactics to bring them down, how can they not hate us? And the media calls them radicalized. What does that mean, radicalized? In my opinion, that's called self-protection.
Yeah.
What do you think, JB?
Well, that's what I stand for. You know, I put when the FBI announced some time back that they were going to go after online extremism, I decided to call my website Extremism Online. In fact, if you look up online extremism in a search engine, you'll come up with my website. So that's,
well,
we just have to be radical. We have to be fundamental, you know, in terms of loving freedom and willing to fight for it. Because that's the only way you're going to survive this thing, is to fight.
I also believe that we need to add the Renaissance emphasis in on the consciousness of it, to change with conscious, not just revolt against them, to change consciously, a Renaissance consciousness, so the global community feels us. We do have another caller.
Okay. I want to comment on what you just said, Jared, and then we'll bring on the caller.
Okay,
I totally agree with you. We have to bring a consciousness to Americans as to how America is the evil empire that is a puppet of Israel. That's step one. But step two is to do something to change things. Okay, please bring on the caller.
Caller, can you tell us where you're from and give us your name, please?
William from Boston.
Welcome, sir.
Thank you. It's clear we have a group of Jewish psychopaths, sociopaths, and criminally insane people controlling things. But my question is, are they the problem, or are we non-Jews the problem for allowing them to control our monetary system, our media and information systems, our political and legal systems? And it really is time to have a zero-tolerance policy for Jewish organized crime. Because that's what Judaism is. It's organized crime. It's a philosophy determined to prove that crime pays, that lying, stealing, murdering, extortion, and blackmail win in the end.
Okay,
and we know
I'm going to give my answer to your question, and then I'll let JB comment. An analogy to the vaccine situation. Parents and pet owners are lied to about vaccines. You can't blame the victim, okay? We've been lied to. So how can you blame the victim? You have to blame the predator, in my opinion, because they're the ones that control everything, including the media, that allow us to be blamed for everything. So blaming the victim, I think that's just not the way to go. We have to blame the perpetrators. What do you think, JB?
Yeah, absolutely. Do agree with the second half of William's statement about all the criminal natures of Judaism. Now, if you read my website, you see that I'm now calling for total revolution. I'm dedicating myself 100% now to the resistance, starting this resistance movement, especially what I think is a special offshoot of it. I'm going to refer to as DAJA, D-A-J-A, or Defense Against Jewish Aggression. So I agree 100% with what William was saying about the nature of the problem. We just have to have a zero-tolerance policy, as he said, for Jewish ways. They can no longer be accepted in this country. So.
Anything else, William?
Oh, absolutely. With the Internet today, there is no excuse, none, for people who have any access to the Internet, at the library, at home, whatever, to be buying into this crap that the Jews put out in the media. Yes, 5, 10, 20 years ago, you could make an excuse, oh, they just don't know, media is brainwashing them, et cetera, et cetera. But no, not today. If these people are so craven are so lazy or they're part of the crime network, they deserve what the criminal Jews are giving them. And it's time we know the people. It's time to start arresting people or taking them out. We have all these multi-billion-dollar intelligence agencies that go around assassinating everyone. Well, when are they going to start going after the criminals? What about the murdering Jews? The Dianne Feinstein, the Lieberman, Joseph Lieberman, Benjamin Netanyahu, Lindsey Graham, John McCain, Alan Dershowitz, and then the thieving Jews, the Rockefeller family, Henry Kissinger, Ben Bernanke, Alan Greenspan, Robert Rubin, Larry Summers, and the lying Jews in the media, Wolf Blitzer, Diane Sawyer, Scott Pelley, Tom Friedman.
Slow down, Will. Slow down a minute. You're exactly right. But we have made giant steps in the last year, consciously, and it's going to take an effort of everybody to come together. Not one person can just stand up and be a Martin Luther or a John F. Kennedy. It's going to take a mass of us. And then there'll be a mutiny. And I believe the consciousness will turn it. I believe it's coming. There's going to be some hurt, but I believe it's coming.
Well, you're right, because it's historic. It always happens. They always go too far. They're always hated. Why? It's only rational to dislike, to hate lying, thieving, murdering, extorting, blackmailing criminals. So it's nature. They cry anti-Semitism and they wonder, well, look at your friggin' behavior, you effing criminals.
Okay. I'm so glad you mentioned that hate word, because anybody that talks about these psychopaths, they're labeled haters. How can you not hate the people that are killing you and
destroying
the planet?
And killing your children and killing your pets.
Yeah.
And poisoning you. How can you not hate them?
It's called self-preservation.
Self-sanity.
What do you think, JB?
I think it's very well put by both of you. So I got nothing to add to that.
But thank you for letting me give my opinion, and Dr. Carly, you are just a light unto the world, as are you, J.P. Campbell, and thank you again for letting me speak.
Thank you, caller.
Thank you, William.
Caller 150, we have a few minutes left here. Would you state your name and where you're from, please, for What's Ailing America?
I hear the cat objecting to what's going on.
Oh, we lost that caller. I hope they call back.
Okay.
Go ahead.
All right. We're running out of time, as we always do when I talk to you, JB. I had mentioned this ProPublica situation. Maybe you could comment on that. It's really amazing. All these Jews that have accrued apparently $26 million in secret donors funding to put out their bull crap in regards to what's going on, and this is allowed. What do you have to say about that?
Well, I never heard of ProPublica. I never seen it. Hello?
Go ahead, JB. We'll bring on the caller when you get done.
Yeah, I'd never heard of this website, but I was absolutely astonished to see that since 2009, they had received $26 million, as you said, from anonymous donors. It just happened that the three recipients were Jews, two of them, I think, with the Wall Street Journal previously, and one with the New York Times. And so, obviously, they could be trusted to give the party line on a website that's supposed to be some kind of alternate news source. So anyway, it's just amazing that that kind of money could be funneled into some obscure website for what? I mean, does anybody read ProPublica? I never even heard of the thing, but they got $26 million. Imagine what we could do with that kind of money.
Oh, just yeah.
Mind-boggling.
Okay, do we have a caller on the line?
Yes, from South Carolina. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Go ahead. We hear you.
Quickly. We don't have much time.
Dr. Carley? Hello?
All right. Do we have two callers on the line?
Uh-oh.
Just yes, I'm calling South Carolina.
Go
okay,
ahead.
South Carolina. Go ahead.
Yes, I was just going to say I agree with what JB's saying. And I understand the two-tier process that you guys are talking about with the consciousness, and especially with the guys in the military. I feel like it's starting to dawn on them, you know, and most of us that are in the military, that being over there and all the destruction was for nothing. And once those guys figure that out, that's when it's going to turn. So I really agree with what you guys are doing and the work that you guys are putting in, because it's waking up a lot of us guys here. JB knows who I am, but it's coming, and when it comes, it's going to be such a tidal wave that I feel like we're going to be vindicated with everything that we're going through right now. But I think this is the right way to do it.
Okay, wait a minute. I'm so glad you called in. You made my day. Please tell the people that you are in the service with, stop killing yourself. Go against the monsters that have caused this to happen. You were just following orders. Just like I was when I worked in the hospital and I was told what I had to do. And when I realized that I was killing people with vaccine, surgery, and all these other things, I went on the rampage against the predators. Okay? It's time for the military to stand up against the monsters that have hoodwinked them. And so that's great what you're saying. Let them wake up. Let them not kill themselves, but kill the people that are doing this. That is so important. Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you.
Okay, we have another caller on the line?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Hey, Dr. Carley, this is Inez.
Hi, Inez.
Yeah, I wanted to say, you say that it's not always the victim's fault, and it's not, but we have to know what a victim is. A victim is a psychosocial beast. And if that's what they want to continue to be, then so be it. So at some point, they have to realize that, you know, that's what they are. They either accept it or they just no. Like you always say, hell no.
Exactly. Right. But see, unfortunately, they're in fear. And once they get sucked into the court system, you know, basically, that's a trauma unto itself.
Yeah.
So, yes, what you're saying is true. But they have to avoid the court system as much as possible. Unfortunately, there's something called the Shabbat Goy. Those are the people that work for the system that go along with the predatory situations, whatever it may be. And they have sold their souls for cash. And
there's so many elements that go along with that. See, the people are being poisoned with everything, and I always give them the benefit of the doubt, because they don't know, and they're so sick they can't just wake up. But I still say, at some point in your life, you says, wait a minute, what's going on? And that's when you should begin to study, listen, and understand what's really actually going on.
Right.
I think it takes your community. You, as someone that's a little more knowledge, is to work in your community. And now small pockets are building a big consciousness, is my
Let theory. Me say this to you, Mr. Campbell. You are absolutely right. But a friend of mine and I was taking Dr. Carley's courses on how to help people. And I used to wonder why, you know, she said people, they didn't want any help, or they wanted to give it to her free. And I don't do it anymore, because nobody really wants to be well. It seems that they just want to be sick. It's like a statue. You say, okay, I'm sick. Everybody you see, they just say that they want to be sick. They got all these diseases and illnesses, and we know where they come from, but they don't want to be helped. So it's just almost like a defeating purpose. I hate to say that to people like you guys who are always trying to help, but it's almost like a non-ending course.
Well, I know the answer to that is because they smell a gefilte fish and they realize the pure evil that we're living in this country. And, frankly, subconsciously, perhaps, they want to die.
That's
and,
true.
Let them die. Let them all die. And this
die.
Includes
you're right.
My entire family who won't listen to anything I say. They killed both of my parents, the White Coats, my younger brothers. Now they're killing my younger sister. I don't have any time for these people.
That's
let them
right.
die. Because eventually, we're going to come to the point where we have the awake people versus the psychopaths.
That's right.
When it's going to get interesting. And I'm so glad to hear. So
glad to hear. Let me say this, Dr. Carter, before you go. I love you. I really do appreciate you. Because you're the one who started me. You wouldn't think. I'm 63 years old. You wouldn't know that if you saw me. If you just met me somewhere, you wouldn't think that I was who I was. Because it's just beautiful just being alive and healthy and well.
Because you went through my protocol.
Because
and,
I went through your protocol. That's you're exactly. Not just tell everybody.
Okay.
But they won't listen, though.
I know. I know. Like
I love
I said,
you.
Thank you for calling. My own
Thank
family's
you.
In this boat. Okay,
Thank
we're
you.
Almost out of time. I want to give JB an opportunity to close things off and
okay.
tell us what to do, JB.
Thank you too, JB. I appreciate you too.
Thank you. Hi, Ness.
Thank you very much. And JB, as I always discuss, you are my definition of a real man, a protector. Somebody who's going to stand up for what's right. We have many men that are feminized for various reasons, you know, synthetic estrogens and the water supply and the food supply and all kinds of different reasons. But if we had a couple of million of you, the party would be over for these monsters. And I just want to give you an opportunity to close out the show and tell the listeners what you would do if you were they. If they care about their lives, their children, their pets, their planet, their food, their air, what would you do?
Well, I care about my wife and my daughter and my son. But we're talking about women. I like to teach women how to shoot, and I have a pretty good method so they're not afraid of the gun. I always start them out hip shooting, holding the revolver down by the waist with the elbow tucked against the side and watching the target, which doesn't have to be very far away, but being able to hit that target just by pulling the trigger, watching where the bullets are going, correcting, and bringing it onto the target. And this gives a tremendous amount of confidence to gals, anybody who hasn't shot before. It makes it so you're not worried about the recoil. It doesn't jump up in front of your face. You don't really care about the recoil. You're just interested in seeing where that bullet goes. And it's a very liberating experience for people who might be kind of afraid of guns. Now, you know, when you're shooting pool, for example, you don't look down the pool cue, you know, as if it had rifle sights on it. You just have your head over the pool cue, and you just figure out where to hit that cue ball, and you're not even lining it up. You're just kind of doing it by second nature, and that's exactly the same way that gals can shoot guns comfortably and not worry about recoil. Now, I can't help but think occasionally of these three women, young women in Cleveland, who were held by the monster, Castro, for 10 years. Now, that whole horrible nightmare incident, or it wasn't an incident, it was a career for those poor gals, was caused because they had no means to defend themselves. Now, what if every one of those gals had a .38 snub nose in her purse, and that monster somehow captured them, and they pulled it out of the purse and just shot him right in the head? I mean, think of the the terrible years of horror and sexual degradation and torture that this fiend inflicted on them. And it could have been cured instantly if a gal had had a gun on her, in her purse. This is what these liberals and these Jews and even the Republicans have done to this country. They've disarmed us. And so this has to stop. We have to arm ourselves. You know, we got more guns than we got cars in this country. And as I say, guns don't wear out. So we've got hundreds of millions of guns, more guns than people. Let's all arm ourselves, regardless of the law. We don't care about any stinking laws. The law of survival is the law. So we got to arm ourselves, protect ourselves, and live free. Make the bad guys die. Pretty simple prescription for success.
It's called self-preservation. Yes, protecting your own. That's what people have to get back to do. The police are totally corrupt. They actually protect the wrongdoers. And then you have the district attorneys who are the ones that determine who is going to be charged with a crime. And if the Jews or Masons or any of their offshoots are involved in committing the crimes, there won't be any charges to begin with. So this is critical for people to realize. You have to protect yourself, your family, your pets, your property, your loved ones. You have to protect it yourself. That is reality, people. And I don't know what else to say in terms of trying to get you to realize in January of 2014, Obamacare has actually stated in their documents that Nancy Pelosi said we'd have to pass it to, you know what's in there. But they're going to be sending CPS workers with SWAT teams to steal your children. If that doesn't wake you up, I don't know what to say. You deserve what you're going to get, in my opinion. You have to stand up. Otherwise, you're dead. Your children will be put into the global pedophile rings, used for psychiatric drug experiments. That's reality. And the government agencies will be doing this and protecting the wrongdoers, unfortunately.
So the next step from personal protection is national protection. And that requires what I'm calling the resistance. As you know, I started the militia movement. It didn't end well with Oklahoma City, but it wasn't set up properly. It was just kind of ad hoc. It took people by surprise, took the government by surprise, took everybody by surprise, and people joined it, thinking.
Amen. Okay, I want to thank you so much, JB. I hope that this archive will be posted on Revolution Radio, because your last archive was not. But thank you so much for all you're doing. You are my hero, and we must protect everything that matters. Otherwise, we are destroyed. I'll be back next week, folks. Tune in. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.